Turn to Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 28 through 38. This is a common thing that preachers do on Palm Sunday. And I have several Palm Sunday messages that I've done over the years, and every once in a while I come up with a new one. Today, I'm going to repeat something that I've taught in the past, and I mentioned it, I don't know, a couple weeks ago as a side thing while I was talking to our congregation, and I just thought, you know, it's a good time to pull that one out. And so it's been several years since I've shared this message, but I want to talk to you today about donkey duty. Some of you are like, oh yeah, I remember that title. May not remember another thing about that message, but I remember that title. Reminded me of something other duty. So, donkey duty. And Luke chapter 19, verse 28, let's begin there. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. This is talking about Jesus. And it came to pass, when he, Jesus, drew near to Bethpage at Bethany, that the mountain called Olivet, or at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and there, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, yeah, think about that a little bit. The owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then, as he was not now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Everywhere, this, and there's another version of it in one of the other Gospels, maybe two. I can't remember right this second for sure if it's two or one. Oh, you know what? I do remember. It's in all four Gospels. This is one of those rare ones that's in all four. But John 12:16 says, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. That John passage is another place where this same story is being told. So first, it says a couple of disciples. You know, it doesn't say which two disciples this is. Doesn't tell their names. No accolades. No distinction from any of the other 12. Oh, and these guys may not have even been of the 12. I know we always think of the 12, but he had 12 disciples that he called apostles. But he had more than 12 disciples, and in fact, we were just reading that the multitude of disciples began to do these things. He had a bunch of people that were following him and considered themselves his disciples. So these weren't necessarily apostles. They were just kind of regular guys. Of course, if you've ever noticed the apostles, they were just regular guys too, weren't they? In fact, you might even wonder if they were a little sub-regular. I mean, when you look at Peter sometimes, what was he thinking? I have a whole message that Peter is the Homer Simpson of disciples. Because he's always saying something, and then he's always going, don't! Because he messes stuff up. But God used him mightily. Today, perhaps, though, we would give these two disciples titles. Think maybe they deserve a title? Sure. How about one of them is the Secretary of Transportation and the other is the Undersecretary of Transportation? I'm sure the people in D.C. would be glad to open up another couple of government jobs. They like doing that a lot. And they were asked to do something interesting. Was this important? Well, I'm not sure they knew it was important when they did it. Think about that for a second. They might not have had any clue. And in fact, based on that John scripture, they didn't have any clue what they were doing. They were just told to do something. And they had no idea that what they were about to do was allow Jesus to actually go in and declare in front of the multitudes that he was the rightful king. Because there were people who knew what it meant when he rolled in. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees and priests and people who were all tied up in the law. And they saw it. They saw it. But these guys didn't know it. So they didn't know how important their job was. And I wonder how they felt about their job. Like, how did they feel when Jesus said, okay, I want you to go get me a donkey? All right. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8 reads this way. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles, or do not go the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach. That sounds like a pretty cool job. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what they were supposed to preach. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now there's an assignment you can sink your teeth into. That's a whole lot better than donkey duty. I get to go heal people. I get to go raise the dead. I get to go open blind eyes. Oh yeah, that's a job. I want to do that. But no, Jesus told these two guys, go down yonder, find yourself a donkey, and steal it. What? Well, think about it. Think about it. Let's just say that I tell John here, Bree's going to drive him down because I don't know if he can walk that far, and I tell him to go down to Mark Motes. I say, John, go down to Mark Motes, and when you get there, you'll find a black Mustang GT with the big engine, and the keys will be in it. Just jump in that thing, fire it up, and bring it back down here. And if anybody asks you, tell them, oh yeah, Pastor Tim needs it. How's that going to go over? I don't know that John's going to like that responsibility. I mean, it is a Colt kind of, a Mustang. But I'm not sure that's that great a deal for him. And I'm not sure the guys at Mark Motes, now there's nobody there right now, it's Sunday, but, you know, this was not a Sunday, was it? Was it a Sunday? Didn't matter when there were people near that colt, and you don't steal anybody's colt. And untying it and starting off with it without asking, or who's this belong? They didn't even go and ask who's this belong to. They went down, they found it just as he said. And I suppose if I told John there was a Mustang sitting down there with the keys in it, just grab it, and he walked down there, and lo and behold, there was keys in it. He looked around. Okay, Tim must be having one of those really prophetic moments. But then when someone sees him starting to drive off with it, he could be having a pathetic moment. I don't know about you, but if I were going to go down there on assignment, I'd rather go to Mr. Motes and say, excuse me, the preacher told me to come down here, and there's a car out there, and it's got keys in it, and he said I was supposed to get it. And then I would be very careful not to take it if he said no. I probably don't know if I'd have enough faith for that. Well, especially if it was me sending me. I mean, wouldn't have a lot of faith in that at all. So in a way, these guys were having their faith tested. And I'm sure when they got back, they were probably thinking, well, maybe this is something. You know, it's not raising the dead, but it's something. God's using us for something. I don't know exactly what is going on here. So I think you can see why I call it donkey duty, by the way. Kind of a crappy job that they were given. How about us? Do we ever feel like some or all of what God has asked us to do is donkey duty? Maybe not all of what he asks us to do, but maybe sometimes we feel like some of what he's asking us to do is donkey duty. Can't believe God's really asking me to do that. Or maybe worse, Pastor Tim did ask you to do something. Pass this thing around and ask for people to clean the church. Maybe we don't feel like what we're doing is very important. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord." I'm just taking little steps here. They don't seem like much, do they? Man, I don't know how many steps I've taken in the wrong direction and had to retrace my steps. You don't even think about it most of the time, as long as you haven't taken too many steps in the wrong direction. That is until your knee or your back or something else hurts, and then you take a few steps in the wrong, oh man, I shouldn't have gone this way. I got to turn around and go the other way. A step's a small thing. But our God is a step-by-step God. Step-by-step God. He's with us every step of the way. So what if I told you that everything that you do has kingdom potential? What if I told you that everything you do has kingdom potential? Let me think about this. Everything you guys do has kingdom potential. You not so much, the rest of you not at all. Think about it with me. Some of you have lots of things that you have to do every week. You've got a list a mile long. You've got an important job. Things have to get done. Things have to be taken care of. We got a banker sitting on the front row right here. People are dependent on her to get things done for them. Otherwise, their whole economic systems that they're working can crash. It's important stuff. And then someone else is retired. And now you don't do nothing. Well, you do, but it just seems like nothing. Does that make sense? Does it seem sometimes that we get to do these things that are nothing? Of course, this little banker right here also has two kids. That's true. Her husband said three, and he is so right. I will not argue. Are you guys all done with the diaper thing, by the way? Yeah. But for the last several years, two kids close together, lots of diaper changing going on. That seems like donkey duty sometimes. That doesn't seem very glamorous. That doesn't seem very special. But you know, the diaper changing of the righteous person is ordered by the Lord. Just made that one up. Okay, didn't go over that well, but sorry. You know, every little thing that you do has potential, is what I'm saying. Has potential. And sometimes if we do those things in the right manner, they develop into something great. There are no small jobs in the kingdom. There are no important jobs in God's economy. And whatever God is asking you to do, whatever he's given you to do, is significant. And the scripture does teach that we can do everything, as unto God. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because sometimes I'm not happy about what I'm doing. Do I have to do this right now? Sometimes I do have to do it right now. Sometimes it's not what I was planning on doing right now. Sometimes I was going to do something else that was going to be fun, and now I'm finding myself doing something that's not so fun. Last week's testimony on changing a diaper. If you missed it, go back and watch last week's message. Colossians 3, 23 through 24, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Man, if I could just keep that attitude, if I could just get myself into this mindset. And by the way, Jesus set the example. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus just did what was set before him as the Father set it before him. And the Father has brought you to where you are, or you've gotten yourself there maybe, now you need to let the Father take you where he wants you to go. But if you start letting him step by step take you where he wants you to go, if you start letting him do those things that he wants to do, then you can start having significance in everything. And even the thing that was foisted on you by somebody else because they were too lazy to take care of their own problems can become an opportunity for the kingdom to enter in, for a transformation to take place, and for something good to come out of that which was not good in the beginning. Because God works in all things to the good of those that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Jesus did nothing by accident. He did everything that he did with purpose, big or small. In fact, you could say it this way, Jesus did everything on purpose. Maybe I ought to live on purpose. Some days I am living on accident. I got through that. I muddled through. But what if I could see in the midst of that that God was up to something? Maybe just to fix something in me, or maybe to affect somebody nearby me in a way that I didn't think could ever happen. Maybe it's taking him a while to do it the way I thought he should do it, and he's not ever going to do it the way I thought he should do it because he's doing it the way it needs to be done so that it'll change me and change some of the atmosphere around me and people who enter into that atmosphere. Are you willing for God to do it his way? And do you realize that some of what you're experiencing right now might actually be on purpose? Wow. I don't like it, though. If you could see what God was up to, you might like it a lot better. Sometimes all we see is donkey duty. But we need to see what God sees. That's the key. I need to see what God sees. If I could just see what God sees. Wonder if he'd show me. Wonder if I'd see it if I just took the time to ask and took a little time to focus and took a little time to trust. You know, the God we serve is the one who has an inventory of every hair on your head. And I've been doing my best to make it easier for him as I've gotten older. Doing my part. But if he can number the very hairs of your head, if he can have the details of every molecule of your being, if he knows your DNA better than Ancestry and 23andMe, if he knows everything there is, then what if he's working to your good? So what if there is no greater ministry for you than the ministry that he's called you to right now? You know, I remember I got here and the church had some new growth. And that happens because when you get a new pastor, all the curious flock hoppers come running over to see what the new pastor's like. And then after a little bit of time, some of the new ones stayed and some of the old ones said, that's not Larry Goodwin. Then they wandered off. But the church, you know, goes through what it goes through. But I don't think you understand. I was given a prophecy that there would be 300 of us by Easter 2 years after I got here. By somebody who's not a prophet, by the way. But anyway, you know, and never has claimed to be. And if I told them today, do you remember that? They'd say, yeah, I don't know what that was. We were supposed to have that church that people drove 3 and 4 hours for. Yeah, didn't you know that? That's what we were supposed to have. And I was supposed to be a lot more famous. Man. I mean, you know, I still don't understand how they don't know that the best preacher in town is right here every Sunday. Woo! No. How many of you know sometimes what you think God's going to do and what God ends up doing can be two different things? I had someone once tell me that they understand why our church is maybe not the biggest church and probably never will be the biggest church. And it was their feeling that God had called us to be an ER, an emergency room. And the truth of the matter is, ERs are places you go in and you hope they don't stay long. But what if we're an intensive care unit? What if we're designed to be the size we are because we can do things for individuals that some of the big churches can't? But that's not what I wanted. I didn't sign up for that. I signed up for, you know, 12,000 people on Sunday. Having to move in and take over the whole mall. Not just one room. And I'm not begrudging the church that's in the mall. I'm glad for them. You see, though, sometimes the steps are not ordered the way you would have ordered them. Right? You're not alone. Right here, this guy. You get pictures, you get ideas, you think this is going to be this way and this is going to be that way. And it doesn't always turn out this way and that way. It turns out the way he wants it to, ultimately. Sometimes all we see is donkey duty, but God sees something more. So stand up. Stand up. Stand up if you can. I know some of you that'll be a little tough. Stand up if you can. I want you to declare this together. I want you to repeat after me. There is no greater ministry than the one God has called me to right now. Let's say it again. There is no greater ministry than the one that God has called me to right now. Now look at somebody next to you and say, There is no greater ministry than the one that God has called you to right now. All right, sit down. Wow. See, there's this worldly mindset that gets in, and it dictates our worth. It dictates our worth to others as much as it can, and it dictates our worth to ourselves. And then when it dictates our worth to ourselves, then sometimes we agree with others, and then pretty soon we run around feeling like, eh, it's no big deal. Maybe it's a bigger deal than you know. Maybe there's not a high profile to it, but it has indescribable value in the kingdom. The world may not see it, but he sees it. Luke 19:17, and he said to them, well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. This is the story of the minas. Just one verse from that. And just before he sent those disciples on donkey duty, he had shared this parable. He had just explained to them how important little things were. I'm not sure they got it. and I'm not sure we get it, and I'm pretty sure I still don't always get it. But if I find myself grumbling and mumbling, maybe that's because I don't get it. What if when I'm grumbling and mumbling, then all of a sudden this comes to my mind and the Lord says, you're up to something, you just don't see it. Okay. When we are faithful in the things that he's already given us to do, then opportunities for great things do happen. We start where we are, and we're faithful with that. And so rather than accusing God of sending us on something that wasn't valuable, when we may not see the end from the beginning like he does, sometimes we just need to joyfully go do it. I don't know who these disciples were. There's nothing more said about them. So I can't tell you if they were smiling when they came back or just like, well, whew, got that done. Thought we were going to jail. So I want to end this today with the words of the Apostle Paul. From Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, yes, even Ohio, Marlene. Well, she's born in Michigan, you know. That makes her special. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I said last week, even change a dirty diaper. If I lean into what I'm doing and realize that God's with me and every little thing I do has value. By the way, you have no idea how happy my daughter Sonia was that I had to change a dirty diaper. She thought that was the best thing ever. She got a big smile. Oh, cool, you had to do that. And then when I said to her, you know, I could have just waited just a few more minutes, about 30 actually, and you'd have been here and I wouldn't have had to do this, but I did it anyway. Then she loved me for it because I took care of my grandbaby. Seemed like an insignificant thing. Not an insignificant thing. You are kingdom people. And you are called to greatness. And you're already there. Just receive it. Just believe it. So let's stand up again. By the way, thank you, Tom, for that good word on healing. Tom told me he was sitting there in his chair, as he told you, and felt that healing happen. I says, oh, I thought maybe you were going to tell me what I had to do one time. Some of you will remember this. There was carpet that needed laid in the fellowship hall, and I was hobbling around. Something happened to me. I don't know if it was my back or my knee or whatever it was. And I said, Lord, if you'll heal me, I'll lay that carpet. And he said, if you'll lay that carpet, I'll heal you. And I laughed and went in there and started putting those carpet squares down. And before the end of the first day, I had no problems. God is already working. We just need to let him work in us and recognize that he's already working in us and he's already working through us, through you, through each of you. So, put your hands out like you're receiving something. Not that you haven't already received it. See, you already have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It doesn't get more than this. It just gets released more than this. It's already there for you. Father, for every single person in this room, we are about to go out from this place. And there will be some things that we will do that will be like so many steps that we've taken over our lifetime. We don't even remember most of those steps. Something else was on our mind, and the steps, well. But God, I pray that as we walk away from here today, that we will become more supernaturally aware of you present in every step that we take. We just believe, God, that you can make us to know that you are with us. And Lord, if we find ourselves doing something that you're not with, that we'll find ourselves able to say, wait a minute, God's got something better. And so walk with your people, Lord, and let them go forward from this place knowing that they have you moving about inside of them everywhere they go and in everything they do. And may we all live this week and every week on purpose. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.